So this morning's theme is Go On Talking Jesus, as we come to the end of the series, and looking from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6. It's really annoying when you want to open a door and it remains locked to you. A couple of months ago, I got locked out of my car. Once upon a time, this would not have been a problem. On two occasions, at least that I can think of, I broke into cars with the aid of a coat hanger and a screwdriver. In case you think I'm confessing to a past life of crime, one of those cars was my own, and the other was the car of a friend who was locked out. And, I mean, well, some of you have done it, I think, from the sounds out there. A coat hanger and screwdriver was really all you needed. Modern cars, though, are near on impossible to break into without damage for mere amateurs such as myself. And this was my problem when I arrived back at my car after a particularly cold and miserable nine holes of golf at Stowe. And I became even more miserable to discover that in the cold, the battery in this key fob had gone flat. Now, normally this key fob just has to be in my pocket and the door will open. Probably some of you have got key fobs like that. Don't have to put it in a keyhole. In fact, there isn't a keyhole, obviously, that you can put the key into. Normally, it's in your pocket. You just pull the handle, the door opens. This time, it wouldn't. I was locked out of my car. What now? Well, the key fob does have a key on it like that. But I'd never used it before, and I didn't know where the key went. I mean, where do you put a key where there is no keyhole? So in this icy cold car park, and I should just, by the way, say that my companion on the golf course, who is known to most of us here, a small Greek man, had scarpered by this point and driven off in his car. So in an icy cold car park, I Googled VW Golf on my phone, and eventually I managed to discover how to open the door using my key. Basically, I had to prise off a little piece of the door handle, lever it off, and underneath there is an actual old school keyhole. And I managed to prise it off with this key, I think this very key. And I managed to do that, and my problems were over, or so I thought. Well, how little I knew. I put the key in, and it turned. I opened the door at last, and the moment I opened the door, the alarm sounded. It went ballistic just as two busloads of Stowe School pupils arrived from the school up to the sports field alongside the car park. And trying not to look guilty, I got into the car, which was with the alarm continuing to blare out. And now I didn't know how to start the car or stop the alarm because there was no place inside the car to put the key, and the key fob was still flat, and I couldn't start the car with the usual button press that I have to use. Now, by the grace of God, I had a spare battery in my car. Fat lot of good it was there, really, wasn't it? If it'd been outside, it would be more useful in my pocket. But the thing is that although I could get to this battery, I needed a coin to lever off the key fob cover just here, and a small screwdriver to prise out the battery that was in here, and I had neither. And as I sat there in my car, alarm blaring without ceasing, pupils staring in my direction suspiciously, a member of the Stowe ground staff came over to arrest, no, to apprehend or whatever me. Thankfully, he believed me when I said that it was in fact my car. And I showed him the key fob. And there is a happy ending, folks. He was able to lend me a screwdriver with which I could prise this open and lever out the battery and put the new one in and flip the fob, which even now will probably reach my car just over there outside our house. The alarm stopped. The car started and all was well. What was right with the world again? What's the point of that story? It can seem that opening the door of my car is a bit like opening the doors of faith for people to believe in Jesus. Only it often seems harder to open the doors of faith, doesn't it? If that's how you find it, or is it perhaps just me? I hope that this Talking Jesus series that we've been exploring on Sundays and in life groups has made things seem that just that little bit more possible. See, your family, your friends, your colleagues, even the chance encounters with people that you have can result in doors that seem firmly locked being open to faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you to go on talking Jesus, and I pray that you will see doors opening in the lives of those with whom you share Jesus and with whom you want to share Jesus. The Apostle Paul, who writes this letter to the church at Colossae, says, "Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains." Even Paul, who has an amazing testimony to share of being converted to Christ on the road to Damascus, needs prayer to proclaim it. He writes from prison, probably in Ephesus, unable to directly share the good news of Jesus. It could be that he seeks prayer that God may open the literal door of his jail. But more likely, he's using door as a metaphor in the way that the New Testament often does. So, for example, in Acts chapter 14, verse 27, we find Paul himself and Barnabas reporting back to the church in Antioch all that God has done through them and how he had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, Paul talks of a great door for effective work that has opened for him. And in 2 Corinthians 2:12, he reports how he found the Lord opened a door for him in Troas. And then, before Paul, in John 10, verse 9, Jesus announces, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, they will be saved." Newer translations of that verse say gate, "I am the gate," but it's the same word there in John 10 verse 9, translated here in Colossians chapter 4 as door. And Paul longs that doors may open for him and for others to share the good news that Jesus is the door through whom we can be saved. And here in Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 to 6, he gives us training in sharing the good news in six steps. And in many ways, this is a summary of what we've been doing through the Talking Jesus course. The first step is to be prayerful. I mean, prayer is always key, isn't it? Prayer is the answer, probably in everything, really, in so many different ways. And Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And in our Talking Jesus course, we've been encouraged to pray for at least five people regularly, faithfully, that they may come to know Christ. So as you pray, watch for signs of the Holy Spirit at work. Thank God for questions that people ask and understanding that grows. And let that become a cycle of interceding, watching, thanking, that turns back to interceding and watching and thanking before God, until one day, God willing, you can celebrate them entering through Jesus the door to eternal life. Prayer is essential to talking Jesus. Yes, we can talk about Jesus without prayer, but it's going to lack the power that should be there in talking Jesus. So be prayerful. That is step number one that Paul gives to us. Step number two is be positive. He says, pray that God may open a door for our message, that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Paul's message is also our message. Paul is asking for prayer that he and Timothy, who co-writes the letter, may have an open door to talk Jesus. And we should pray the same for ourselves. Now, you may not be gifted specifically as an evangelist, but as a follower of Jesus, if that's what you are, you are a witness to the love of Christ. And Jesus says to his disciples, you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we are some of those witnesses. Perhaps some of you remember the time when the very idea of faith was a mystery. This may be particularly so for those of us that didn't grow up in church, that came to it later on, that maybe didn't have parents who had a Christian faith. And then truth concealed became truth revealed as you took a step of faith and asked Jesus to come in through the door of your heart. We have a story to tell. And my story, which to be honest is not that remarkable, but is still a story, is likely to speak to people differently and to different people than your story, and vice versa. All of our stories of faith can be used by Christ. And as we pray positively for open doors, Jesus, the door, is likely to open to them for us to share faith. Because prayer works like that, doesn't it? So often we find that if we pray, it makes the difference. So be positive, and be positive in what you pray. Don't pray as someone once did, here am I, send them. God's calling you. So be positive. Thirdly, be clear. Pray that we may proclaim it clearly as we should. That's what Paul is asking of us and for us. So be clear, or at least aim to be clear in sharing what you believe. We've spent time in our life groups thinking about how we share our stories of faith, that it might open the door to others. Now, you don't have to have a story that sells books and t-shirts and films. I mean, there's some great books out there, and it's inspiring, isn't it, to read about others who have had these remarkable stories of how, you know, Jesus has plucked them out of the complete depths, and praise God for those stories. But so often makes us feel a bit inadequate, doesn't it? But your story is your story. You don't have to have a degree in theology or an extrovert personality to share your faith. Just be who God has made you and be ready to share Jesus as simply and as clearly as you can. Billy Graham, perhaps the greatest evangelist of recent times, had one key aim as he preached to millions around the world. And that was to always focus on the cross. If you read his autobiography entitled Just As I Am, and I'm probably overdue reading it again, but I do have it at home, there's a place there where he realizes that he's not preaching, he's not sharing faith that, with the usual power that seems to be there for him. And a wise friend says to him at the end of his preach that day, says, Billy, you didn't preach the cross. And there's a lesson in that for us. What does Jesus' death on the cross mean for you? And how can you share what it means for you with others? Be clear. Fourthly, be wise. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Walk in wisdom is kind of the literal meaning of be wise. Walk in wisdom and follow Christ as God's pattern for living. Unbelievers are quick to spot the inconsistencies in believers, but they also notice lifestyles that are modeled on Christ. Seek to be that model. And when you fall short, hands up anyone who's never fallen short, be ready to own up to that. People who don't believe are not looking for perfection in us, but authenticity. So be wise in the way you act towards others. And then be ready. Make the most of every opportunity. A couple of weeks ago, John led us in thinking about 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, which says, in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And as John related from his own experience, there are opportunities for those who look for them. People do ask. But sometimes we also miss opportunities, don't we? In my first church as pastor, down the lovely South Coast resort of Hastings, we had an old grade 2 star, and there is a difference, listed building. Not much to look at, to be honest, on the outside, but lovely on the inside. And I remember talking to a fellow governor at our kids' primary school who said, I'd love to see inside your church. Now, what an opportunity that was. And I blew it. What I should have done, you're probably quite obviously thinking, is invite him and his family to come along on Sunday and see it and see how it functions, not just as a building, but as a place of worship. I forget what I even said now, but I know that I missed the opportunity. And who knows what God might have done if I had invited him and his family to come along. When we get these opportunities, we need to snap them up because they may not come again. Thankfully, other times, by the grace of God, I have done better, and so will you when you get it wrong. So be ready. And then sixthly, Paul gives us this direction to be full of grace. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, how we share is as important as what we share. And it's out of the grace of God for us that we have anything to share in the first place. The grace by which we are saved through faith. And that divine grace to us should be shared with human grace to others. If you share faith with others and they throw it back in your face, be gracious. Don't get into an argument. Don't force yourself onto others. Just be gracious. This is a bit before my time, to be honest, but some of you will remember the 60s pop group Manfred Mann. If you don't, even now, you will probably know hits like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, yep. And those profound lyrics, do a diddy diddy dum diddy do. Yes, those are hits from Manfred Mann. Now, their lead singer, somewhere in the mid-60s, Paul Jones, appeared in a TV debate with Cliff Richard. Blessed be he. And by his own admission, Paul Jones rubbished the faith of this new Christian that Cliff then was. But he remembers also being overwhelmed by the grace that Cliff showed in response. And that grace led him gently down the road to faith. And in the 1980s, and this is a reminder that sometimes you've got to play the long game, haven't you? You've got to keep praying, keep hoping, keep asking, keep inviting. In the 1980s, Cliff himself invited Paul Jones to an evangelistic event with Lewis Palau speaking, another of those great 20th century evangelists, at which Paul Jones came to faith in Christ. Be full of grace. Don't be put off by others' response, but be full of grace. Because if you keep praying, if you keep sharing, if you keep taking the opportunities that God gives, they may get there in the end by God's grace. So these are Paul's six steps in sharing faith. Be prayerful, number one. Number two, be positive. Number three, be clear. Number four, be wise. Number five, be ready. Number six, be full of grace. And at the heart of it are his words. Pray that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. So I pray for you that Jesus, who is the door by which we are saved, will open doors of opportunity for you to go on talking Jesus with those on your list of five and those who are not on your list of five. And it's perfectly permissible to have much bigger lists than that.